Ski areas are pretty places all of the time and pretty quiet places in the warm season when there's no snow there and no skiers. There's usually not much going on in the way of human activity. The people who run the Mount Ashland ski area made it clear a while back that they'd like to broaden the scope of what the area offers by including warm weather activities after ski season ends. And they're continuing that pursuit in a process with the landlord, the U.S. Forest Service. A comment period is open for another week on the issue through the Rogue River Siskiyou National Forest. We have representatives from the ski area and the forest with us here. Hiram Toll is Mount Ashland Ski Area's General Manager. Welcome back to The Exchange.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Jeffrey.
And Brian Long is here as well. He's the Recreation Manager for the Siskiyou Mountains and Wild River Ranger Districts for the Rogue River Siskiyou National Forest. Welcome, Brian.
Thank you.
So let's start with you, Hiram. Give us the recap of last season. You actually had one, which you didn't have the year before at Mount Ashland.
Yeah, that's right, Jeffrey. We had 38 days. You know, it's a short season, but, you know, the Rogue Valley was really happy to have skiing back and riding up at Mount Ashland. So, you know, when the weather came in, we took advantage of what we had for snow and got creative with how we used it, and it all turned out pretty well.
Were you able to open all four, was it four lift lines up there?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. In fact, the, you know, our signature bowl, was skiing great right to the very end. And our new beginner terrain, on Sonnet, we just kind of mellowed out the terrain there and brought back the Poet Toe. And we had a lot of people out there, learning how to ski and, really enjoying it.
You've been in the business for a while now, but did the last couple of seasons sort of stack up as a, you know, what goes on with the weather thing in the sense that you had no season, the winter before last, had 38 days of skiing just this past winter, where Mount Shasta had none. Mount Shasta was never able to open its ski park last year.
Yeah. Actually, Shasta got open a little bit in this last season, but those 2 years are outliers, you know, in our minds. It's, you know, there are cycles, and we do go through some drought cycles and some low snow years, and these are still outliers if you look at the overall trend. The overall trend is snow is going down and its amounts. You know, people talk about the good old days of the, you know, we're reporting 300 plus inches, and you know, there could be a new reality there, but you know, we've flexed with that and managed to keep up with it last year, which is good for everybody who likes to ski and ride.
And of course, one of the things you think about too is how to make money outside of the ski season, which is why you're here today. So we talked to one of the board members even before you got hired. What's the process then of moving ahead here? What are some of the things you're considering, and what are some of the things you might have checked off the list already?
Well, basically, we're trying to get people up to the mountain to get some exercise and get education. And the way that you do that is you give them a compelling reason. And we're allowed now to put in things like zip lines, disc golf courses. We have an idea about a bungee trampoline, which kind of translates nicely into jumping in a fairly safe manner while you're harnessed in, to kind of give you that feeling of what the snowboarders might be doing in the parks, for example, and a rock climbing wall. And then, you know, interpretive nature trails, things that are learning experiences. You know, we're pretty unique environment up there, and we like to educate people on what's there.
So, Brian Long, as the representative of the Forest Service, how detailed a process is it to get a permit holder for a winter season activity and expand it into something other than that?
Well, we'd go through the scoping process, which we're currently in, and then we'll analyze any kind of comments or concerns, issues, and then decide from there what kind of environmental analysis work we'd have to do. Once we go through that process, then we can, you know, decide what we want to do and approve it and then start working on it, hopefully.
Is it a process that requires the full environmental impact statement? Does it go for just the environmental assessment, the somewhat smaller process, or what makes that decision for you?
It kind of have to depend on what kind of concerns or issues get raised, you know, any kind of significant environmental concerns, and we would decide from there what kind of level of analysis we'd have to do.
And so what are some of the issues that might present up front? I mean, things that you're aware of that might make a difference in whether an area is used for winter recreation versus things that might have people tromping on the landscape without snow on top of it.
That's a good question. I think, you know, being in at the top of the watershed there, we'd look at any kind of concerns with erosion, soil, anything having to do with the watershed, hydrology. We also look at wildlife concerns, any kind of concerns with wildlife up there. So those are kind of the major significant ones that we'd look at.
Are there any particular sensitive species in that area where the ski area is located?
Up that way, there's some species of bumblebee that we're going to look at up that way. Pacific fisher can go up around that way. And the spotted owl are generally a little bit lower in the watershed, but all stuff that we would analyze.
All right. We're talking about the possible expansion of the Mount Ashton ski area into summertime activities with Brian Long, who's the recreation manager for the Rogue River Siskiyou National Forest in that particular area. And Hiram Toll is the general manager at the Mount Ashton ski area. You can join our discussion on the exchange at 800-838-3760 around the region, 800-838-3760, or by email jx@jeffnet.org. You do offer some warm weather activities now, and in fact, we snagged the picture from your website for our website of a wedding taking place up there. I mean, how many weddings a year do you have up there at this point?
This year, we only have one scheduled, but we have been in the wedding business for quite some time, and there's a lot of events that are run out of the mountain, whether they were our events or other events, where you open up the doors and help support those kinds of things. In fact, we have our Youth Summer Services program. Kids put together a great interpretive nature trail that exists there today, and actually have a group of, I believe, three buses coming from an elementary school next week that are going to go out and hike that nature trail. So it's being used now.
Fun. And do you still have a program in the summer where you have younger kids work on some of the maintenance work?
We're working towards funding that and getting that back. I mean, after the year that we didn't open, many of those programs had to be stopped, but definitely those are on the radar for getting back up and running, you know, now that we've had a season behind us.
Are any of the amenities that you do use for ski season potentially possible for use in warm weather activities? Could you use, for example, the lifts to give sky rides or something?
Yeah, I mean, the way that our mountain is laid out, where the lifts that would provide what I would consider a scenic lift ride, you know, are down below the lodge. So right now that's not really part of the plan. But, you know, this initial project really is to utilize around the area of the lodge, and these already previously disturbed areas, and keep everything tight to the lodge and around that in that area, including the zip line would go right by the lodge. The rock climbing wall would be right outside of the lodge area. So the lodge is pretty much the part of the existing infrastructure that makes a lot of sense to tie into this, because, you know, again, Sonnet is a great lift, and it would make for, you know, someone who's never been on a ski lift before, it'd be an interesting ride, but certainly wouldn't call it a scenic lift ride. So right now, pretty much just using the lodge and the land around it.
Is there any particular preference right off the bat from the Forest Service to say, hey, look, we want to make sure that you guys do keep your activities contained to a certain small footprint, smaller than the ski area itself?
Well, not in particular, but I think that kind of makes some of our analysis easier, in a sense that, you know, right around the lodge, it's previously been impacted quite a bit, so makes our analysis a little bit easier in that sense. It's already impacted, and there's use there already.
Now, when we talk about the lodge, and I remember, Hiram, from a previous discussion that there was a survey about the things that people liked and did not like about the lodge, and there was some consideration then about moving it to some sort of renovation of it. What's the status of that?
Yeah, we've actually identified a number of projects for the lodge, but, you know, basically with the financial situation, we have to pick and choose what those are. We're going to be doing some work on small amount of work on the roof this season, and just small improvements, you know, maybe adjusting some of the flow of how we move people through the lodge. Some of the things that we did last year was just trying to create more storage and areas for people to, even simple things like more coat hangers to get things up off of the tables and floors. It's a pretty good-sized lodge for the number of guests that we get, but it does get overrun during lunch hours and things. So just trying to give people more area so they can spread out. That was one of the complaints was, you know, it tends to get a little crowded and people hunker down at a particular table and have their gear there. So if we give them a place to put it, they'll put it there and free up some space.
Got some bottlenecks in there. You mentioned the financial situation a couple of times. What's the situation with how you're doing financially? I mean, did the 38 days that you had for a ski season this year at least cover the basic costs and maybe give you a little to put toward the loan?
Yeah, well, now the reality is when we were open, we were doing really well. We were making money, and but we have costs that are fixed, and they come about every month. You know, it's a little over $60,000 a month, whether we're open or not, of, you know, things like utilities and insurance, and that just don't go away. So the reality is we did come out of the season at a small loss, but the good news is we kept up with payables. We've actually paid down a significant amount of debt. And so, and we have cash in the bank. So really sitting fairly good in terms of our financial position, but nowhere where we need to be. We just came out of our season pass sale. And I want to take this opportunity actually to thank all the people that did step up and bought early in the spring pass sale. It's amazing the amount of support that we get, whether it's people talking to us about these summer operations or people that are willing to step up and support their community mountain. But came out of the pass sale actually a little bit lower than we would like to. So I guess the overall financial picture is still tenuous. We have to watch the money that we have. We have to run really lean and really smart, and that's what we intend to do coming through the summer.
Hiram Toll is the general manager at the Mount Ashland Ski Area. Brian Long is here as well, recreation manager for the Ranger Districts in that area for the Rogue River Siskiyou National Forest. You can join us on the exchange as we talk about potential warm weather activities at Mount Ashland, 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org. Mike in Medford writes, with the unparalleled views from Mount Ashland, has there been any consideration for a hotel on its peak? I would imagine lots of glass and panoramic views would draw people the world over. Thanks. That's from Mike in Medford.
Yeah, I mean, there's no arguing that it's one of the most beautiful places that we have in the Rogue Valley, and we'd love to bring people up there. That type of a build out is a big one, and I don't see that in any immediate future. There have been plans drawn up from the beginning for an addition on the lodge. I think that I have heard talk about lodging up there, but the reality is that needs being met really well in the city of Ashland. I mean, one of the reasons that the mountain is so important to the economy here is that, you know, we fill those beds that are already down in the valley that get filled up during the summer quite easily. So yeah, I think it would have to be balanced with what the needs are. And again, no arguing that it would be a beautiful place to spend the night.
How difficult would it be, Brian Long, to even consider something like a hotel on Forest Service land at this point in history? And I guess the larger question would be, you got a lot of existing infrastructure in places like the Mount Ashland Ski Area, leasing Forest Service land. Is it a lot harder to get those things started in today's world with the layers of environmental reviews?
It seems to be. I think something up on the very top of the mountain there would take a lot of analysis. As Hiram said, at one point in time, I think they were considering kind of lodging up that way. It looked like in the early days, I've seen some previous documents that mentioned that. And I think it was similar to what Hiram said. They would rather focus on the people staying down in the city of Ashland.
Yeah, we got Callahan's just down the road. It's a great spot. And people, we have ski and stay packages that we work with a lot of the local hotels. So although it's a great suggestion from our caller or the gentleman that wrote in, I think that's way out in the future in terms of what might be considered.
So when you talk about zip line, climbing wall, and I forget what else you said here, disc golf. I mean, are we talking basically one sort of park with one ticket price for admission, or could you do it a la carte? Like, I just want to do the zip line, that kind of thing.
Yeah, we intend to offer a day pass, a day ticket. So you show up and you can spend the entire day. That's one of the reasons we want to give, a number of activities so that a family could, you could picture them coming up, parking in the parking lot. Kids are out having some fun on the zip lines. Everything being around the lodge, the parents can kind of be watching over that process. But yeah, we're intending to have a day ticket. The a la carte piece can work. I've seen it work. But most success is when you give them the freedom to show up and they can take advantage of any of the activities that are going on. It gives them, the ability. If you're gonna drive up to the mountain, we want to give you a day's worth of fun, and that would be our intent.
We have another email for you here from Bruce in Ashland. He says, please address mountain biking in the watershed. I hike the watershed regularly, and the spread of mountain bike trails is huge through the area. These ribbons are not held to single tracks but keep spreading. If summer activities are held with lifts, it will attract many more mountain bikers who then ride down through the watershed, which is having a huge effect on the water quality and spread of weeds and erosion, more so than the ski area alone. So you're not talking about using the lifts, correct?
Yeah, I want to make that really clear. I mean, we just don't have the type of terrain that would support lift-serviced mountain biking. It's fairly steep. The soils aren't right. And the reality is the watershed trails that are in place, it's an amazing network of trails, and they're already world-class. That need is being met. We don't see the need to add to that. So, that's not currently in our plan to provide any kind of increased mountain biking on the upper mountain at all. So
Brian Long, is this an issue for you to deal with, though, to have people riding through the National Forest areas, creating mountain bike trails where there were none intended to be?
It is, actually. We're currently in the process on another project. It's called the Ashland Trails Project. It's been going on for, close to 4 years now. So we've done the environmental analysis, and we're looking into a decision here shortly on that environmental analysis. And it was looking at the different uses in the watershed, so that would include equestrian, mountain biking, and hiking. And a lot of it is user conflict and then also resource concerns. So We're trying to separate uses somewhat, identify areas where, you know, it could be multiple use trails. So, we've been that whole separate project in regards to that.
Is that also something still open for comment?
We're almost into the decision process, so we're already through the comment process. There'll be an objection period for individuals who had commented previously, but yeah, we're pretty much through the commenting process.
Right, but the comment process for the Mount Ashland warm weather plans is open until the 29th of May, is that right?
Yes, correct.
Is there any online way? I noticed that there's a physical address given, but can people comment through an online portal somewhere?
Yes, there's an email address, and it's a pretty lengthy email address. And
all right.
Yeah, I'll throw out the hint there. We've got it posted on mtashland.com. If people go to the Mount Ashland website, they'll see in our news lower left-hand corner of the landing page, you can just click through and you can read the scoping letter, and you can click right through to get to the email comment.
All right, we'll make sure that we provide a link to that so people can find it pretty easily. How much money will it take to get started, and can you potentially make more money with less overhead on summertime activities than you can on ski season?
That's a great question, and the capital expense that we've identified based on the proposal that we gave the Forest Service is about $130,000 to $150,000. If we do all of the activities, it'll be $150,000 worth of capital expense. And in terms of the amount of money that could come out of it, really it depends on the number that show up. The models that we ran and the numbers that we ran to justify this were very conservative. It was based on doing about 2,000 to 2,500 visits over the course of the summer, which I think is fairly conservative. And with that, you might drop about $20,000 out of the back end of summer when we finish up. But the good news is we keep people gainfully employed, and we have people up there now. So.
All right. The process again for commenting on the discussion of warm weather activities at Mount Ashland open until the 29th of May. We'll provide a link on our website. I want to thank Hiram Toll, the ski area general manager, and Brian Long from the Rogue River Siskiyou National Forest for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange. Good to have you here.
Yeah, thanks for having us.